Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.
Pop in the morning, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. As always, I'm your one true host, Big Jelly, a.k.a. Jazzy J, joined as usual by my brother and one true co-host, Buzzy Benjamin B. Ben, thanks for being here today, man. How's that coffee?
Well, so, hey, man, how's it going?
It's going really good. You know, I'm feeling really great today.
Congrats on your hostmanship.
Thank you.
I mean, honestly, like, I don't know that anybody who's deserved it deserved it more.
Thank you.
It's been in the pipeline for years. I mean, people have been calling for it.
It's been a long time coming. I was only ahead by 5 points. Well, so it was the narrowest of victories on the hostmanship this week.
A powerful 5 points, though.
Exactly.
A very powerful five points.
Yes.
I mean, this is a deviation in history. I mean, the show could go in a brand new direction all of a sudden.
I mean, it could absolutely go in a whole new direction. Ben, you know what else went in a whole new direction this past weekend?
Oh, excellent segue. Let me know.
All of the logs in your yard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yes, in fact, they did. Yeah, so last week we talked a little bit about how I was able to assemble the troops, as it were, to take down the maple tree in my front yard. And it has been, honestly, just such a joyous occasion because I've had, like, my dream a little bit. Like, I have had just a massive pile of logs asking to be split, just sitting in my yard, like available for me to use.
It's sort of a weird thing where it's like it started out as this like arduous chore, but in the end it ends up being this great like win.
Yeah.
Where it's like, actually, this is a win-win. It's like, I got to hang out with my buddies. I got to do a big project. And at the end, chopping wood? Oh, no.
I know. It's like if it couldn't be one of my favorite activities.
Oh, no. I know, right? And on top of that, you just got like a giant thing out of your yard.
Yes, yes. And I mean, it's really becoming strange, like walking up on the house and just how radically different it is. But I also had a really fascinating conversation. I have a kind of elderly neighbor across the street. And the other day I was taking my garbage out to the garbage can and he was out walking his dog. And he was like, wow, I think you may have dodged a bullet, you know, and taken down that tree. And I was like, you know, how do you mean? Because I almost feel like I've been doing like the classic like Ben Carlin thing of like over-explaining myself like every time somebody asks about the tree. And I'm like,
right.
Well, you know, like I talked to multiple arborists and, you know, they were saying like, you know, it wasn't doing so well. And, you know, we were worried about it falling on the house. And like, you know, because it's almost like our house is so prominently positioned that like I'm like afraid whenever I change anything about it that like the neighborhood is going to be like in revolution, like stop changing things.
Oh, like they care.
like they care. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like it's important to them that like I don't like modify this like fixture of the neighborhood because it's almost like the entry point to the neighborhood. So almost everybody has noticed because everybody goes by it.
Yeah.
Everybody has to in order to get to their homes. And so I'm chatting with him and he's like, yeah, so like I've lived here for 40 years. And he's like, you may not realize this, but you're the high point in our neighborhood. And I was like, oh, like, I mean, you know, like it has occurred to me.
I mean, thanks, you know, whatever. I should do my best.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm doing the pageant wave, like all fingers connected.
Right.
Just keep going back and, you know, like, thank you. Yeah. You know, so I'm thinking what he's being like, you know, like you have like a prominent house or whatever. But what he meant was physically the high point of the neighborhood, which is kind of strange because like, it's mostly flat. I mean, sure, if you like walk out and walk to the left, you will end up going downhill.
No, I guess it makes sense because I remember we used to do the Murphs at your house.
Yes, which is it's a once a year kind of workout that we were doing way too often.
But yeah,
it's run a mile, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 air squats, run a mile.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, it is a really difficult CrossFit workout that people usually do on Memorial Day.
Yeah,
right?
So
yes.
Coming up, man, I should start practicing.
Ooh, maybe we should. But yeah, like we would do all the the push-ups and squats and pull-ups in your basement, but then the mile we would just sort of, you have to do two laps around your block, if
yes.
I recall.
Yep, yep.
And I do remember that it is like, yeah, you on one half you would be going downhill and then you'd turn the corner and you'd be coming uphill all the way the other way.
Yes.
And it was not the easiest mile.
No, it wasn't. So you ended up getting like some really slow times when, I mean, it's already slow.
Well, especially because you're already exhausted. Yeah.
Yeah, your legs are completely gassed. But and it occurs to me as well that like our basement doesn't really get like water when it rains and stuff like that, which I guess is obviously a very good thing. But,
yeah.
But what he meant though was that since having lived there, he has witnessed one occasion where the house itself was struck by lightning.
Wow.
And blasted the like meter off of the house entirely.
Whoa.
Which actually is mildly corroborated by the fact that I am aware of the fact that they have changed the physical location of the breaker box because there is the remnants of where the breaker box used to be.
Mm.
And like you can even see like where the brackets and like a wire would have like gone into this like enclosure.
I see.
But instead we have like for what is otherwise a very old house, a very up-to-date and high-powered breaker box, which is unusual for such an old home.
Right.
And so I was like, wow, okay, that explains the breaker box, which I just assumed was an upgrade somebody made. So house was struck by lightning once then and had to be like fully and completely repaired. And then prior to my tree that I just took down, he was saying 35 years ago, there was a different tree in the front yard that was taller than the house. And he was walking back in a rainstorm and he remembers hearing the like loudest clap of thunder he's ever heard in his life. Turns the corner, it's pouring rain, but the tree in the front yard is on fire.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The one you took down?
No. The tree that was there before the one that grew that I just took down.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
It's been that long.
Wow.
So I guess my tree was less than 35 years old.
Okay.
Which is just a point of reference. So maybe that's the reason that they planted this one because the other one was struck by lightning.
Oh.
But so anyway, the tree I just took down was then the highest point. So now, but then like me and Alice were talking about it a little bit more like that sounds reassuring, but now is our roof now the lightning strike point?
Maybe. I don't know. Are there trees next to your house that are taller than your house?
Not really.
No? Okay. No.
Yes. There is one. There is one. Yeah. I like on the corner. It was kind of crazy. It's like my property has been struck by lightning twice. Which is
right.
Kind of unbelievable.
That is
to think about. So anyway, yeah, it was kind of like, man, that's just really insane. But yeah, so otherwise though, I've been having so much fun. Like Alice is literally like, I don't think I've ever seen you this happy. She was like, is this just like what you've wanted? And I was like, I mean, I do talk about splitting wood all the time. And,
yeah.
And I technically do have the land that I could go to like, you know, take like a dead tree, take it down and split those logs and stuff.
Right.
But that requires like departing the house. Like I can like set Addie up like with like, you know, like a movie and be standing in my yard and like be able to hear the movie coming through the open window,
right,
like into the yard,
yeah,
and have full control over that situation and still be like splitting wood.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like then I can be very opportunistic. Like I just go throw my gloves on and just like whatever, just start
whacking.
But no, it's like it turns out like it's not just a daydream. It's like I genuinely just love it. And I mean, I think Alice just keeps like laughing at me because like I'll be sitting there like breaking down the wood. And I'm like, I have a vision for like how we're going to burn this wood. So like we're going camping soon. So like I'm going to bring these logs and I'm going to put them in that container. And then I've broken down all this. We've got like some ready to go kindling. And
yeah.
So I'm like, oh, it's going to be so great.
I've got all this wood to burn.
Yeah, all this wood to burn. Yeah. So I've just been having just a good old fashioned hooting and hollering good time. And we posted to the Instagram. I sent it to the, we have like our office group chat. So I sent like a video of me splitting logs.
Yeah.
because I think everybody has seen me gush over this gentleman on TikTok before, mm-hmm. who is a wood splitter.
He fell right into his thirst trap.
I sure did.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, man, this guy knows how to cut some logs. So then I was like, well, I want to try and take some freshly cut hardwoods. And I mean, of course, what I'm doing is like, you know, maybe like 18 inches. The ones he's doing are like 3 feet.
Right.
So, he is a beast. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, we posted it to Instagram. So if you want to see me cutting some logs, you can totally check out my thirst trap audition tape.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway, so I've been a happy camper.
Well, that's good. And yeah. Soon to be a genuine camper.
Soon to be a genuine camper.
Exactly. Yeah,
just on the old horizon. Bam. So how about you, though? Because, I mean, not only has our hostmanship changed in my front yard with the tree, but also your garage.
My garage. Ben, yes, indeed. It was a true labor of love. I think last week on the pop, we were talking about like garage and garden. And when we set out this weekend, I had like such a plan in my mind. I'm like, all right, Saturday is going to be garage. Sunday is going to be fence. That's how that like we'll do it. That'll be great.
Right.
Because yes. Like I've cleaned the garage before and like made it look nicer. And you know, that took like a couple hours. So I was like, if we go get the stuff, we'll just, you know,
slap it on the wall.
Slap it on the wall.
No big deal.
Certainly 1 day's worth of work. No big deal. No problem. That was not the case. It would end up being a 2-day project for the old, the Garage Mahal,
as we were
calling it. Yeah. This has been an idea. Like we've wanted to do it for a long time. And it is like one of those things where, you know, every time you walk out to the garage, you can just see that it's like, you know, it's expanded a little. The mess has gotten a little, just the incrementally bigger over and over and over different amounts of time. And you're like, whoa, you get to the point where it was like bottlenecking all of like my other projects. It's like, well, I can't even, like, you know, last year I had that whole quest for the rototiller. And this year I was like, I'm just going to go get one. Like, screw it. Like, I'm so tired of it. I'm just going to go get them. They're not that expensive.
Right. Yes.
You know?
This is a walk into Lowe's, walk out with it.
Exactly.
Kind of
right,
situation.
Like, right. I don't even need a big one, you know?
Right. Right.
You know?
Yes, yeah.
Like, if I get, I almost need one of the smaller ones because I have a smaller garden, which is great because then they're cheaper. But like, I'll be out there sometimes for like hours just weeding, and it's like, if you just have a rototiller, you can just take your tiny one and go between the rows and just rip the weeds and be done.
And be done.
You know? And it's like, that's what I want. Just that. So whatever. But like it got to the point where I was like, where am I gonna put it? And so this weekend I was like, we are tackling the garage. It is nice weather. We are going to do it. We're going to take everything out of it. We're going to build shelves. We're going to put them in there. We're going to, you know, so honestly, it is like a day I've been dreaming about, like for like, it's hard not to say years, you know?
I mean, I get it though. Like I genuinely think that like, that there's a line in the book Project Hail Mary,
yeah,
where, you know, like, I think the way he describes it is having like his first meal in a while. And he's like, there's no greater seasoning than hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so hungry that it's like anything he eats. It's like, you know, after you go on like a long run or something, you take like a sip of Gatorade.
Yes.
And you're just like, I've never wanted anything more
right
than this delicious beverage right now. Like you can't pay to make it taste as good as it tastes.
Oh, I know. It's like nothing makes you realize that you're not using Gatorade correctly than using it correctly.
Exactly. Yeah. And then when you do, you're like, my body needed like sodium and sugar and yeah,
all the things,
all the replenishment. But the point I was trying to make though is that like I feel like I remember prior to having Addison that like Alice works on Saturdays,
yeah,
and so it used to be the case that like I would just spend all day Saturday just like tending to projects. And
right.
It would be like, you know, I would, you know, do like all the normal like household stuff, vacuum, mop, like full laundry, stuff like that. But then like I would also go and like fix things or whatever, you know, needed to be
done. Whatever needed to be done.
But usually I would like resent those days. Like I it was more like I was like in my head the whole time. Like, you know, I was just always like having rumination over past conversations. Like I hated the time alone.
Right.
And now I feel like that it has become my life's scarce resource is the opportunity to just like go and have my full attention and focus be able to be applied to a task.
Yeah.
That like when it happens, it's that Gatorade effect.
Yes.
Like, this is so wonderful right now. Like I am unimpeded. I am just able to go and work. Things are taken care of. Right. I can knock it out. I can finally tick this box.
The true irony being that like when you don't have like kid, like all, like if I didn't have kids, then it's like the amount of mess and stuff would just be so much less.
Yes.
You know, like the need to clean or to be organized would not be as present.
Yeah, right. You know? So not only would you have more available time to do it, but you wouldn't be fighting the same battle that you're currently fighting because there is the now absence of all of all their stuff,
yeah.
The toys, the puzzles, the Beyblades, the whatever.
Yeah. Whatever it is. But like, so like for, I mean, especially the past like few months, it has been like we've been traveling, we've been here, we've been there. You go home, you're like, oh my god, it's so messy out here. And I would go and like there'd be like minor fixes you could do, like, you know, a lot of times like we probably need like a bin to like put all of our like cardboard in that I'm going to take to the recycling center.
Sure.
But in most of the time, like we just like throw it into the garage and there's just sort of like a pile, and then I'll go break it all down. And then when I do that, it like feels like, oh, you can breathe in here. Look at all the cardboard that's gone.
Right.
But
yes. You
know, it was getting to the point where like even that wasn't even the problem anymore. So we went out though, we bought like, you know, I'm sure people are familiar with those like big, like, black rubber or whatever, like plastic containers with the yellow lids.
The Lowe's brand. Well, I don't even know if they're like Lowe's brand, but like, they're like the big box hardware store, big boxes.
Yes. Yes. I feel certain you've seen them and know what I'm talking about. So, they also make, they're great because I feel like they've just like solved a lot of storage problems and they also have these like shelves that are built to spec to fit the boxes specifically,
right,
and match the color system. And you don't need any hardware to assemble them. They just like click together. They're huge, sturdy, wide, and super easy to do. So we got like three sets of those shelves and just a ton of the boxes, but then they actually now make clear boxes, which was a huge win.
That is a huge win. Yeah. Yes, because I have several of the black and yellow boxes in my basement, and literally over the weekend I was scouring high and low for something that was in one of them.
Yeah.
And it was like, I had to open all of them
mm-hmm.
to find where it was. And as it always is, it was the last one.
It's always the last one.
Yeah.
And then it's like you get through them and you're like, did I really check each of them? You know?
Oh, I know. Yeah. Then you doubt yourself.
Yeah. Then you doubt yourself. So we got the clear. That was honestly like a debate I was having in my brain for a long time. Like, do I want the black ones? Because those will look cleaner. Like, those won't look cluttered or whatever. But the clear ones, you'll be able to see into and know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And it was like that. But in the end, clear, definitely the way to go.
Yeah.
So that was our solution here. We got like a bunch of the boxes. We got the bunch of the shelves. We came home. We took everything out of the garage. It was like basically completely empty. And then it's like, you know, this project is of course containing other projects inside of it as well. Like when, Beth's grandmother died, like we inherited some furniture, like a dresser and a bed set and stuff. But it's like, those have just been sitting in the garage because in order to get them out of the garage, it means we have to disassemble the bed upstairs and stuff like that.
This is the slider puzzle.
Exactly. So we were like, you know what? That's a different project though. We're going to move the dresser up there. We're going to move the bed pieces up there, but they will just sit in that room. We're sort of moving the mess around, but that's a different day's project.
Right.
You know, it's out of the garage.
sometimes that just has to be good enough too. Like,
yes.
It just has to be acceptable to be like, okay, at the very, because the other thing too is that like, then when that day comes, you've already moved them like up the stairs.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, okay,
that's nice.
That is one small barrier that now doesn't stand in my way. Like back when we would like do aquarium work all the time, that was like the biggest thing that we all realized is that like the easier it is to enact a piece of service, the more likely you just simply are to do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like absolutely wild the dividends that pays over like the lifespan of the thing.
Exactly.
Because it's like, if you can't reach this back corner pipe or whatever, for whatever reason, to ever service it, then you will never service it.
Right.
And yeah, so it ends up being like such a problem. So it's like, you make it easily accessible, then it's like, boom, you just do it every time. And it's
like, every time.
It's never a problem. It never builds up and it's always clean.
Exactly. Exactly. So we moved, and that was, I think that set of furniture was like my final like tipping point, because there was a moment, there was like a time period like last weekend or 2 weekends ago or so where I was like, where Beth was going to be like off doing something for like most of the day.
Okay.
And I was like, here's what I'm going to do while she's gone. I am going to get the dresser upstairs and the bed upstairs, and I'm going to assemble it. And when she comes home, it'll be like a fun surprise. Like, look what I did.
Yeah, way to go. I love it.
And then it was like, I got out there and I was like, in order to even begin this project, it is going to involve me moving half the garage just so I can get to the dresser.
Ugh.
You know, like, it was just like, I don't think it's really doable. I don't think it's feasible.
Yep.
I don't think I can do it.
The barrier was too high.
The barrier was too high. I was like, because it wasn't just one project. And then it's like, I do have a time limit. So it's like, if all I had to do was get it up there and do it, like, it would be a hassle. I'd have to like take apart the other one first and like move the mattress around by myself and whatever. But like, I could probably manage that.
Somehow though, it feels worse if there's a scenario where she comes home and catches you halfway through.
Oh, that's worse. Yeah.
And then what you've done is made a mess.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So then it's not like, look, surprise, I did a thing. It's like, I was trying.
Tried to do a thing. It didn't do a thing. It was like, if I can't do it right, can't do it at all. So that was like my, like, okay, I can tell the big problem is we got to move this furniture out of here. That is like another, because that enables another project, which is right. Good. So we got all that stuff up there. But then we assembled the shelves. We made it like a 2-day thing because we were at Lowe's and we're like looking at all the stuff and we're like, okay, we need this many shelves and this many containers. And then we're like looking at all like the fancy like track system stuff, which are these like, you know, like side panel things you can just affix to the wall. And then you buy like hooks that fit into the tracks.
Okay.
And then they have like a, you know, a variety of different kinds of hooks to hold like bikes or hoses or, you know, things on a stick, like a shovel or something.
Smart.
Yeah. All those things. And we're just trying to like figure out like, okay, how many of these would we need? How many of like that? And it was just like, you know what? We're just going to have to come back, which sounds ridiculous. It's like, we're here now. Just get it all now.
Right.
It was like, no, we really have to break this down. We need to figure out what's going to be going on the wall, what's left over before we can even go do it, you right. know? So day one,
more slider puzzles.
More. It was like, you know what? We'll just go back tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. So day one was all shelving, all containers. And it's like so crazy when you get all the stuff out, because then you have to decide like what's going to go in each box. You know?
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
What, how are you going to categorize all your stuff? And it was funny, the kind of things that like emerged at like, we have a whole box that is just like bubbles, you know?
Dude. Okay. The thing I was looking for over the weekend, to be fair, it was a mesh bag of like the plastic balls that you might have at a play place.
Uh-huh.
Cause I was using, Addison's like blow up, bouncy castle that has like a little area for such things,
mm-hmm.
But you don't want to know where they were. They were in the bubbles box.
In the bubbles box.
Yeah, because they're bubble shaped. Bubbles, but you know, so it was like 3 gallons of bubbles, like 2 16 packs of bubble wands and like the little containers and these balls.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have a bubble box too.
You have a bubble. I know. We were like flabbergasted. We were like, do we need a whole bubble box? Could that be? And it's like, yeah, we have like a gallon bubble container. We have like a bunch of tiny little bubble things that you just walk around with, like you think of when you think of bubbles.
Yeah.
We have bubble wands from Disney World. We have a bubble machine that just spits out bubbles. It's just like,
Tell me you have under 10 aged children without telling me you have under 10 aged
children. I know.
Children.
It's like, I don't even remember you guys playing with bubbles, you know? When are we using this?
We are a bubble family.
Apparently, we're a bubble family. I got a whole box just dedicated to bubble equipment, you know?
It's like, when do we become so invested?
When do we become so invested in bubbles? And then you're like, okay, well, this big container of bubbles, that doesn't fit. Should we just like get rid of the bubbles? And you're like, I don't know. Should we just dump it out? That feels bad. And then you're like, bubbles are like so easy to get. Like, I think you can let go of the giant container.
True.
Can we consolidate any of it? Can we pour some into the other containers? You know, all that. You gotta have all these like dumb, like internal arguments with yourself, like, am I wasting money? Am I saving space? Is it mentally going to be cleaner if I just like get rid of these things? And this is just bubbles.
That's the thing though, is that like sometimes like when I'm like looking for an activity with Addison, it's almost like I should just go like dig through the stuff that we already own, because it chances are on a weekend, if Addison was like, I want to play with bubbles, I would go buy bubbles.
Right.
And it's like, Ben, you have a bubble box.
You have a whole box of bubbles.
Don't
man.
Forget about that.
I know.
Later, remember. Future Ben.
Yeah.
You have a bubble box.
Yes. And then we have like, you know, a whole box that's just sort of like summer outdoor stuff, which is like, oh, it's like funny because like you can kind of see it when you're looking around the jumbled garage. It's like, oh yeah, there's a few life jackets over there. There's a couple of squishy balls over there. Uncle Ben just got us a bunch of water balloons and like a slip and slide, but they're kind of separated. But it's like you bring it all together, all fits in one box. Turns out we have a bunch of things that fit into one category that could go into one box that has been separated, but now has been united.
Right.
Very, very satisfying to get those. And then we already had like a whole shelf of just like arts and crafts things in the garage that was just, that would become like, you know, a big mishmash, pish-pash of like, okay, we're done with it. Throw it back out there. So we took all that stuff off that and we're able to like consolidate a ton of that down and put that on the shelves, which then we could free up a whole space. We could move the old shelves out. That could go in the storage room.
Heck yeah.
More storage down there. Now we're parlaying into other things. That was fantastic. But the big project then after day one with the shelves was getting the track systems on the wall.
Yeah.
Because that's like the fun, like, you know, new modern sexy way to organize your garage, it were.
I know. Yeah. So we were doing the pop Q&A with Ben and Jay last week, and I thought this was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
I would say the word sexy is not one that we throw around very often, you know, here on the pop.
No, not really.
It's not highly applicable to almost any of our conversations. No. Ever. But when it comes to home organization, I mean, it's like some things are just sexy.
Some things are sexy.
And like being able to like mount your shovel on the wall.
Woo!
Choice. Ooh.
Being able to like just move the hooks around and slide them around and stuff like that. Ooh, put all that stuff on the wall, man. It's awesome.
I love the people right now who are like, is this innuendo or
it is not.
It's not. No. It's like, we just mean it's very exciting.
Some people out there are just like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I can't believe
it. Yeah, the people
that.
Who get it, get
the
it.
People
thoroughly.
Are like, you got the track system for the garage. Bravo.
Man.
Yeah. So the other big one was the bikes, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Bikes take up space, man. It was like, can we get the bikes on the wall?
You're exactly right, though, because like a bike doesn't seem like it's the same size as like a chest freezer, and yet somehow it is.
Right.
It's like because everything, you know, like the spokes are delicate, the gears are delicate, like the handlebars, the way that everything like needs to be. It's like you can't just like heap it. You can't stack it. Like it's oddly spacious for something that is otherwise small and nimble and like, you know, aerodynamically designed and like, all these things.
The frame and the wheels, if you just had that, something happened to the video just now. We might need to go examine that real quick.
Hang on.
Hold on.
Okay, we're back.
Okay. We solved the battery problem. Okay, so yeah, bikes, such a weird shape. Like the frame and the wheels would just be very narrow.
Yeah.
But then you put the pedals and the handlebars and it's like, yeah, it's massive all of a sudden.
It is. Yes.
Yeah. Because you can't like, oh, what if I turn the handlebars? Then the wheels are the wrong way. Like,
well, I mean, literally we got our, I have three bicycles at my house and we got them in like the shed outside that I just set up like maybe a couple of months ago, and it is like transformed the way in which we use our basement.
Right.
Like it's unbelievable
how
like reclaiming, I mean, I can't even, let's see, like maybe like 10 feet by 4 feet. So like 40 square feet of basement.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it has changed everything about the way that we like interact down there. It's crazy.
They're big. I mean, they're like, you know, they're like very small vehicles.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Which I mean, makes sense because that is what they are. Yeah.
Yes. But so we had, after we put it on the shelves, we had like one little section of wall, which was like, I think 86 inches across, and I was like, okay, all right, our goal is to hang all five bikes on the wall in this space.
I love it.
There you go. And like with the gear track system we bought the first day, they had every kind of hook imaginable except the bike hooks, which was so annoying. So it was like, you know what, we can order them online. They do make them, they just didn't have them. So it was like, but you know what, we're not waiting for that. We are in the project. It has to be purchasable today. So we had to go to a whole separate gear track system for the other side of the garage. So we have Gladiator on the left, Rubbermaid on the right. Rubbermaid has the bikes on it, and they all just barely fit, but they do.
It looks amazing.
And they look clean and great. It looks like they were meant for that spot. Ugh. And you're right. Like, the amount of space you get back is so much without the bikes. So that was a huge, huge win for that side of it. And I'll tell you, but this is sort of the, so you kept mentioning how you're like, everyone kept seeing you do the tree project.
Yes.
Yeah, because you're at the, like, the front of the, well, we are also like pretty near the front of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so all the stuff from our garage is just like out on the driveway and out in the lawn, like while we're doing the inside stuff. And it was like, everyone noticed, you know,
yes,
people yeah. were driving by. Like, we had a couple of people be like, oh, you guys giving this away? Is this a yard sale? And I was like, no, we're just cleaning the garage. But then, like, as we're finishing, you can tell people have been like slowly tracking our progress, you know, like we're like slow, we're like getting towards the end of it. They're like, well, now that you did ours, you can come do mine. Like, we had four different people stop and say that sentiment to us.
That is,
I know.
Yes. I mean, it is the funniest. It is so hilarious how what is it, like homogenous responses to any particular activity can be. Like,
yeah,
everybody feels the same way.
Yeah.
Which, like, I mean, you know, half of any content, you know, on Reels or TikTok or whatever, it's like they all come back to this idea of relatability, this like shared experience where you're like, wow, I can't believe that somebody else has like had the exact same thing as me.
Yeah.
But then, like, when you are inside of the situation in real life and experiencing everybody saying it, it's like, well, this is funny.
This is funny. This is funny.
You're the third person today.
I know. But like, it's also just that shared, it's like everyone has a messy garage and
yes!
everyone thinks about it all the time. Like, I should go out and clean that garage. And it was like, hey, those guys are doing it. Those guys are doing it. They did it. Wow. Good for them.
You know what's funny though is that, like, I want to say it was over a year ago at this point in time that I brought up on the pop the Zygarnik effect.
Yeah.
Because Dad was telling me about it. And it's sort of like this thing, like, where you've got, like, you know, unresolved issues, talk about relatability.
Yeah.
But the idea is almost that, like, when there is like a like incomplete task that exists out there, that like it lives inside of like the operating cache of your brain.
Yeah.
Like, it's like that's like when people say, like, I've got too many tabs open. It's
yeah.
like, you know, like web browsers have given us a very good working analogy for what this experience is like. Like, organizing my garage is like the oldest open tab that is like, you know, consuming 3% brain power, even when I'm not like when I'm at like a ball game. You know, like, when we're on tour out west, like, a small part of your brain is still contemplating
yes.
the garage back mm-hmm. home. And it's like the ability to go and like just close it. It's like remarkable what you are giving yourself back in terms of operating power.
I know it's like it really is. And it was like not only that, it's like now. Like it, like the garage being organized makes so much more of the rest of the house organized.
Yes, you know? Yes.
Like, it's like, because this is organized, more other things can happen. I feel like so often this is like, I always compare it to like the drying rack in the sink. It's like, you know, oh, just like unloading the dishwasher, really not that bad. Doesn't
right.
take that long. But sometimes you can't unload the dishwasher because there's stuff in there that's like still a little wet, or it collected some water. You need to like, it needs to like dry off a little bit more in the drying rack. But the drying rack itself is loaded with all like the big bowls and pans and like a bunch of mishmash stuff that isn't going to go into like one place comfortably. You're going to have to open every cabinet to put things away from the drying rack.
Yes.
And like that itself is already like a big, like annoying task. So I got to do the drying rack just so I can unload the dishwasher, just so I can clean the dishes so that I can put new dishes in the dishwasher.
Yes.
And it's like all I wanted to do was one thing.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. But like when we did our kitchen renovation, this was like one of those where we put everything back together, and you know, you have like the first photos that you take of like the kitchen where you haven't like put anything on the counters yet, and it just looks like pristine and perfect. Mm-hmm. And then I think there was like a conversation that Alice and I had about like, oh, well, like you, like, which, what kind of drying rack do you want to get like to go with like the new kitchen? Because the old one we have is just like a crappy piece of like black plastic from like IKEA or something.
Right.
And Alice was like, what if we just try to like not have one? And I was like, what do you mean not have a drying rack? Like, what are we going to do? And we have literally, you know, it's been 4 years now and we never put one back.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, so far we're just operating without it, but we sometimes do like a towel.
Right, a towel. Yeah.
Yeah. And then just
well,
like
we just have like the two sinks. So it's like the one side is for cleaning. The other side is for drying.
Okay. I see.
Yeah.
Like a basin thing.
Yeah. Just like a basin. Yeah. So that's more of our situation we got going on. Yeah, no. If I had like a drying rack sitting on the counter, I would absolutely be more of like, yeah, I could probably just live without it.
Yeah, this is not happening. I'm not putting another thing on the counter.
Yeah, I'm not putting another thing on the counter. What, are you crazy? No.
We are getting so old.
We're getting so old. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Like I'm hoping, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Like the content of the pop, I feel like has so become the subject matter of middle-aged people.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like there's nothing. And I'm like, part of me is like, I'm like, why is this happening? It's like, Ben, you need to overcome that. And it's like, no, Ben, that's who you are right now.
Like, I feel like, I mean, it is the struggles of like people who are in middle age and with young kids and stuff. But I feel like so often it ends up being like a metaphor for other things.
It's true.
You know,
it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's like it ends up being applicable in so many ways. Like, OK, this is the other funny thing I kept encountering whilst cleaning the garage is people asking or even the kids asking me or like, you know, mom and dad came over because they took the kids out to dinner last night so we could like finish up.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And stuff like that. And they're like, all right, so are you going to like park the car in here now? Because it's like big and open. And I was just like, what does that have to do with what we're doing? What are you talking about?
The garage is like a car house.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like the main function of a garage you would normally think of as like where you park your car. And weirdly, like my approach to doing this had nothing to do, like at no point at any of it was I like, now we can finally park the car in here.
Right.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with it.
That's so funny.
And even then I was just like, I don't, even as we were going through, I'm like, I guess, you know, I was like having to consider it like, I guess we could. Would we even want to do that? I don't know, you know.
Dude, I'm such a big fan though of like a kind of unfinished space as it pertains to like your overall living situation. Like it's like an area where it's like it is more acceptable for things to be like a little bit more like rugged or just industrial by like nature and design. Yeah. So like I have like an absolute obsession with just like garages,
yeah,
basements,
yeah,
stuff like that. It's like, oh, This is so you can see the studs.
You can see the studs. Wow.
Glorious.
Yeah, we do have our storage room is like that. Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah. You have my deepest envy.
Excellent. Yeah. The honest answer though is that I also don't think, despite how much room we made in the garage, I think the issue is depth.
Right.
Yeah. It's like you could now width wise, you could absolutely fit. It's called a 2-car garage. There's no way our 2 cars would fit in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the other thing too. Like we encounter it like in my neighborhood again, where all the houses are like very old. Like bathrooms are typically real small.
Mm-hmm.
Like our like primary, which is not even like a, it doesn't have like an ensuite or anything like that. It's just the biggest room is still a very small room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because like lifestyles have changed a lot since the 1930s,
yeah,
when it was built.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the same is like your house, I think, is only like 20 or 30 years old. Maybe.
Yeah.
But like it's remarkable how much bigger cars have gotten since, you know, like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
You know, to the point where it's like this was once a 2-car garage. Now it's kind of like It's a storage place.
It's a storage place, basically. Yeah, I think someone explained it to me once that like I guess like if you're like a contractor or an architect or whatever who's like designing houses like this,
uh-huh,
like it don't like when you like in order to like technically be qualified as a 2-car garage, it has to be like certain dimensions,
okay,
or whatever. And it's like as long as it hits those dimensions, you can now list it as a 2-car garage, which then increases the value of the house.
It makes sense.
But yeah, like whatever that was is a very old number, like you said, because cars have gotten bigger. But that doesn't mean that those numbers have been updated. So if you're designing it, like you're like, it is cheaper, you want to build it as small as possible to get the value increase that you want.
Exactly.
And use as little materials as you can to get the most amount of value back. So it makes sense why they do this. They just need to update it because, it's a problem. But the issue is the depth, because we have like a chest freezer in there as well, and that takes up like 2 feet of space, like on the back wall.
Yes.
And it's like that 2 feet of space is the real limiting factor. It's not even the wideness, it's the depth.
Right.
Like into the garage.
The car is too long.
Yeah, the car is too long for the garage, which is not what you think would be the problem. But I don't even want to park the car in the garage. That's not even my goal. However,
however,
as people were saying this, we were walking out of Lowe's, and of course they have all like their like lawnmowers and stuff out on there. And I walk past this like golf cart, this like what like a fully I say golf cart, like it was like a decked out, souped up thing.
Yes, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, they're awesome. They're awesome. I was looking at it, and down at the bottom it says like $999, and I'm like, good Lord, like I don't even think I need a golf cart, but like I think, you know, like part of me was like, I might just come back. I think I could, you know, I have a place to put it, you know?
Yes!
I have a place to put it here. And I was like, I can't believe I have been really overestimating the price of golf carts. Like, you know, I see people zipping around in them all the time. And I'm like, man, I get it now, because it's like, you know, I mean, it's expensive for sure, but like maybe not that expensive.
I feel like your neighborhood is like built for it too.
It is.
It's like, you know, everybody's got like young kids. It's like you guys are all like doing like play dates and stuff. You could just like go hop on the golf cart, like roll over to
Exactly. And like the people I see zipping around, they're not in like souped up ones. I'm like, there's a problem. This was probably like, you know, whatever. There was nothing.
This is a nice
one. This is nothing. This is basically just like an adult power wheel. And I just, you know, whatever. Let's do it.
You want to know what made me super happy? Yeah. You just did it.
Well, okay, but see, let me follow up here.
Okay.
Because this was the thing. I was like, part of me was like, maybe I'll think about it. I'm going to think about it, because like that could be fun. Now I'd even have a place to put it. You know, a vehicle that would fit in here appropriately. And then when I went back the second day, I realized that I had misread the price tag, that it was not $999. It was $9,999. And I was like, yeah, okay. It's a $10,000 golf cart, because it's fully souped up. And it could off-road and things.
I see. I was like, Jay, I'm like, I don't even have a garage. And I'm like, I might just build a structure to go park one of these.
I know. I was like, I can't believe how cheap, like, it seems like it's so nice for the price. But no, it was in fact 10 times what I thought it was.
Well, that's too bad.
But then it did get me thinking, like, because then I had 3 hours to think, what would life with a golf cart be like? I'm like, well, what if I just got a regular golf cart? You know? Like, and then somebody's like, I wasn't even thinking about golf carts, or, you know.
But this is okay. I think this is almost like in video games. You know, it's like you are like doing this situation where it's like when you're like level one, you can use like ice spark or something.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like your little sorcerer character can shoot like a little tiny blast of ice that does 1 to 3 damage and can freeze a zombie.
Cold breeze.
Yeah, exactly. Cold breeze. And then when you hit like level like 7, it's sort of like now ice mist has been like unlocked, and you can hit like a whole legion of zombies for like 7 to 10 damage.
Right. Wow.
But then all of a sudden you're like level 24 and you've got Frost Nova unlocked. And it's like, dude, now you shoot it in a 360 degree arc all around you, and Now you've like unlocked all sorts of like new possibilities. I do not feel like video games are given enough credit for these stages of life, where it's like you have burst through a barrier that is nothing more than just having like achieved like one incremental increase from where you were. But all of a sudden it's like, there's a whole new world of possibilities.
Whole new world here. Yeah.
Like I genuinely feel like this is like what happened to me when I bought like the truck that I currently drive back in 2017, because it was like, I now have a truck that's big enough to pull stuff. And it was sort of like, before that, it was like, as much as I may have like coveted, you know, the boat or like a camper or, you know, like whatever those, you know, pullables might be, it was like, I don't really have the ability to truly and properly do it. And then it was like, once I did, it was like, wait a second.
But now, wait a minute.
Now all I have to do is learn. And how hard could it be? And the answer to that question is kind of hard.
Kind of hard.
You still do get there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I don't think golf carts at the top of my list or anything, but you know, it is.
It would be radical.
It's achievable.
Radical bonkers sauce if you ended up getting a golf cart before you got a hot tub at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Like, the little colonels out there, like on the edge of their seat, being like, I'm just waiting on the day where it's like, Jay got a hot tub.
Jay got the hot tub. It finally happened for him.
That'll be like the title of the episode.
It happened.
And everybody's like, oh my gosh.
I know. All slowly working towards the same goal here in some ways.
Right,
you know?
Yes. We're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah. So that's all that was the garage renovation over the weekend. So, and it is a huge, just like, sigh of relief. Like, me and Beth were just like, we were just be sitting on the couch and be like, just want to go look at the garage, and be like, yeah, let's go look at it again.
This is so good. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Mint Mobile. Do you say data or data? Well, at my house, we say data. Anyway, it doesn't matter. For the longest time, I just thought that paying a fortune on my monthly data plan was just normal. That wasn't until I found out about Mint Mobile and their premium wireless plans that start at just $15 a month. And the point is that all plans come with high-speed data, or data your choice, and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And y'all, we use Mint Mobile, and as you can imagine, having good connectivity is important for a very, very internet-based company. And as you may know, we've been spending a lot of time on tour lately, which means we've been combing the corners of the United States and haven't missed a beat. Sometimes I just think it's too good to be true, like a nice soft caramel or a pecan pie, or hold on, I got more. Caribbean beach, sun-dried tomato, high-speed data plan. Oh, wait, hey, it just is that last one. So no matter how you say it, don't overpay for it. Shop data plans at mintmobile.com/poppop. That's mintmobile.com/poppop.
What's the difference between DIY and doing it yourself? It's the difference between a part-time passion and a full-time business. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and the business tools you need to succeed. Let your ideas flow with AI that guides you but keeps you in the driver's seat. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Do it yourself. Go to Wix.com.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.
So, okay, so the real question is now, like, now that you've achieved this massive step forward in really, like, life, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're a new person as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You are someone who has an organized garage.
Yeah.
I think that everybody at home is dying to know, like, so when do you get the rototiller?
I know, like, probably next weekend.
So you think, like I mean, you're like ready to go. You're about to, like, unvelcro the wallet and go to the store and like maybe, like, kick a couple of tires, like, unironically.
Yeah, there's, like, only a couple of tires on it.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I mean, you're about to be, like, deliberating over, like, tine count. You know, or, like, that's, like, the number of, like, you know, spinny guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, or are we talking, like, electric or gasoline?
No, we want gas.
We want gas.
I think we want gas. Yeah.
I don't want
to be tethered.
there is something. The rototiller we had before was tethered, and it was always like, this feels like it was designed to run over its own cord.
Right. Exactly. You know? It's like, this is a thing that has a long cord on it, but all it does is spin blades.
Yes.
On the ground.
Yeah. Where the cord is.
So
right.
Got to be very careful with that. And cord's not going to reach out of the garden or anything. It's not going to have the same oomph on it.
No, yeah. Listen, here's the thing. It will reach out within like a foot and a half.
That's true.
And it'll be like, I can't quite reach that mm-hmm. corner because, like, I run out of cord space. Then, like, you'll want to go for it, and then it'll, like, rip itself unplugged, and you're like, maybe I can get some, like, residual, like, really, like, build up the speed and then just, like, shoot forward and hope it's like use the momentum.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah, that's how it goes. But it won't. Yeah, that would need extension cords. Also, like, weirdly expensive.
Yeah, they are.
I always find,
dude, I mean, listen, you know, this is, guys, this is your mid-30s podcast that you're now listening to.
Yeah.
But, like, having a good, like, high gauge wire. No, wait, hold on. I think gauges go the opposite. I think the lower the number, the thicker the wire. I think that's how it works.
Okay.
Having a low gauge wire, man,
makes all the difference.
Yeah, I mean, just like one that, like, when you, like, said, even like one that, like, there's like a little, like, light bulb in the plug at the end. So, like, when it's plugged in, there's like a little tiny, like, orange light that just lets you know, like,
it's good.
I've got power.
It's good. I know. Part of me was like, that's another investment I have to make at some point, is just like a quality one. Because, like, a lot of the power tools I have, we also inherited from, like, Beth's, like, grandparents.
Sure.
And like, but they were all, they're all, like, electric. So
they're all
corded.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I got to get to that tree down at the bottom of the hill, I need some like a pretty long cord.
Pretty long cord. Pretty long cord. Yeah.
But so yeah, that's the next thing is the rototiller and the fence. Those are the next projects.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're all extremely proud of you.
Yes. Hang on.
I'm gonna do the applause. Ready?
Okay. Ready.
Oh, hang on. Sorry. Let me try again.
That was not the applause. That was the exact opposite.
Yeah, do you know that I have not memorized what the buttons do?
That's okay. I like that you just kind of go for it.
All right, you ready? All right. So now we're going to try again. We're going to try again. All right, okay. Now, Jay, time for the applause.
Wow.
That wasn't the applause.
That wasn't it either, but it was still kind of appropriate.
It was kind of festive. It felt like we were about to like launch into like the intro sequence for like a 90s Nickelodeon like sitcom, kind of like a Drake and Josh.
Oh
like,
yes,
situation.
You're right. Yeah,
you know it's like
now we just like fade into the, that was the establishing shot music. Now we like fade the music out as we like check into the bedroom.
Exactly
where shenanigans yes. ensue.
Ensue.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, it was a funny thing that brother-in-law Michael Austin brought up with me over the weekend. So we were chatting, and he was like, "Ben, I found a word," and of course now I can't remember exactly what the word is, but it's like an echoism. But you and I repeat each other on the pop with a high amount of regularity,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, "I think that you guys do this fairly often," and it was like I just thought it was so cool that there's like a word to describe like the way that you guys repeat each other.
No, like how we repeat each other.
The way we repeat each other. And I was like, you know, Mike, it's so interesting that you bring this up because I know that we do this on the pop. Like I know that there are bingo squares that like people have on their boards that is just the guys repeat each other like what the other person just said. And I was like, but the thing I've noticed about this is that it's not common that I do it in casual conversation. Like you know, they were over just like hang out and have drinks over the weekend. And, you know, the entire time, I don't think I did it once.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think that inside of the pop, the way that we repeat each other is actually this like small, it's replacing like ers and ums.
Yeah.
Like a conversational crutch. It's like you repeat the other person to give yourself like 1 second to think about what you're going to say.
I was just thinking that exact thing. I think it is like a hosting, coping mechanism is not the right word, but it's the same like thing.
Right.
Like we're like, you have developed a way to deal with a situation. I think this is a naturally occurring hosting trick.
Okay.
That we have, I say it as naturally occurring because it's not like we decided anything ahead of time or have ever talked about this at all.
It's never been an intentional decision or yes. even like something you'd like learn in a book.
Yeah, no. I would bet that a lot of like radio DJs or other podcast hosts all eventually or a lot of them naturally start doing stuff like this because of exactly what you said. It's like it is a way to either agree with what the person just said or give yourself like an extra 2 seconds to finish your thought about whatever they're saying so you can begin talking.
Well, and I think it's because in addition to anything else, like when the these conversations unfold, it's like we are attempting to maintain steady dialogue as part of the formula for the podcast.
Yeah.
And I think I want to say that you were telling me once upon a time, like for like a script writing class or something, like you were assigned to go and just like listen in on a conversation and write down everything everybody said.
Yeah.
And what you'll very quickly discover is that actual authentic conversations don't typically go through complete thoughts or sentences because it's so often the case that the counter person inside of the conversation knows where you're going. So
right.
like you don't need to complete the thought because they just get it. Like you,
yeah.
you might just get halfway through your sentence and be like, you know what I mean? And they're like, yes, I know what you mean. You're like, okay, continuing on. So it's like a lot of like fragments and shorthand in like the efficient way that two people actually communicate with each other.
Yeah. Like when you're reading a book or something, the author has enough time to have the character fully flesh out every single word that they are saying.
Yes.
So like I feel like John Green books are very much this way, or have other, some people have criticized them, but I think that's stupid criticism, where it's like the characters will just sound so smart and like well like articulate about whatever they're gonna say. And like I felt so often in like life I'll be like, I know what I mean, and I'll be working towards getting that, and I'll get to like the last word and I won't have just the right like like word to finish off my thought or whatever.
Right, right.
And I'd be like, so, but like, yeah, like, but do you know what I mean? Yeah. And like everyone kind of does. And it's like, that was, I sort of fizzled at the end, but I think the point is, you know what I meant.
You know what I
mean. Yeah. Or like someone will be fishing for a word and someone can supply it. Yeah. That was actually for theater where I had to go listen to conversations like that.
Okay.
Well, because I think, yeah, if you're acting, like it was a way to be like, yes, if you're talking to someone on stage, chances are you don't want to sound like you're reading a script. You want to sound like you're having a conversation because that's going to feel more natural.
That makes sense. Yeah. So, but I think for the purposes of doing the podcast, so often, like if I were just speaking to you in real life, if I needed to like wait or like take a moment to think about how I was going to respond, chances are what I would do is just pause. And I think that, like, especially people who know me well, and this is like what I was explaining to, you know, like Mike and Sammy, was that like, I know that you guys know that I'm just taking a moment to like think through my next word, and it's not like disparaging to our conversational flow. Like, that's perfectly fine. But I was like, I bet I'm far more likely to do the repetition thing if I were making small talk with people I didn't know at a party.
Yeah.
Because I think it's much more likely that I want to come across as more like polished, but like it, which is funny because what I'm literally using is like a mental crutch. It's like the opposite of being polished.
And but like there are, but it's so funny that you would think of it that way because there have been people we've met in real life who are like, so how do you guys do the pop? Is it like all like scripted or anything? And just like, what? No. When you talk, no.
It is funny to me when people have asked, like, is the pop scripted? It's like, that would be so challenging.
That would be insanely challenging. We often have no idea where we're going to go on this particular show. This was a weird thing that happened to me the other night, speaking of this kind of phenomenon.
Lay it on
is
me.
Is that I was talking to Luke before bed, and what were we talking about? It was maybe like maybe the Pluto pins or something. And I was like, oh, I was just talking about it on the pop, on like on Popcorn Culture, which is one of the shows I do with Uncle Ben. And he was like, what do you mean? How are you talking about it? Like, how are you like, what were you saying on the pop? And I was just like, I was trying to remember what I said, but then I was like, but as I was trying to tell him how I talked about it on the pop, I was like, okay, so let's see. Like, instead of talking to him the way I talked to him, I was like, let me see if I can like just summon how I would talk on the pop. And it would be like, so me and Ben, like, you know, we talk about like how we're gonna, like, I collect a lot of Pluto pins, and when we go to Disney World we do all these different sort of things where we look for the traders, and it's like this really great experience where I can find and meet new people, and then when I go into the shops I can like look for all these different things. And it was like, it was so weird how I could like turn on telling a story as the host of the pop.
That is versus, so interesting.
Versus like just talking to Luke. Because so often, like what you were just saying, like if I'm just doing like small talk, like around a campfire or like with a random group of guys, like I feel like I never have anything to say, or like I'm despite being someone who talks in a conversation for a living at least 2 hours a week,
right?
Like,
right,
I feel like I'm very bad at conversations in real life. And I was like, what if I just started doing this in regular conversations where I'm just like, pretend I'm hosting the pop, but I'm not. And I just talk that way to other people.
Does any part of you like, and I don't think this, but does any part of you think that it would be like cheating? It's like I am using like a work skill.
I don't, that is a good question. Would I think that it is cheating? I don't think it really would be, but
I think we're being authentic versions of ourselves.
I think we're being, I'm not like making up like a personality that you're like seeing here. I think we've just gotten good at being able to like carry on a conversation, hopefully. But I don't think it would be cheating, because I don't even think like not talking that way would either, would like be my genuine self either.
Also true.
You know,
yeah, right.
Like the
right.
Like the awkward person I am standing in a circle with strangers is not like my real self either.
Exactly. That's a very good point. And my suspicion, because even as we're talking about this, like it occurs to me that like I would go like back to like kind of like the people pleaser persona a little bit for myself, but like I know that back in the day I would have kind of different like if you imagine your personality as like a pie chart, you know, and like, you know, so much of it's humor, so much of it is caring, so much of it is empathy, so much of it is inquisitiveness or curiosity or whatever. Like it would depend on like which person I was talking to as to like which pie slices were facing outward.
Yeah.
You know, so it's almost like I can't like necessarily always take the whole pie and show it to all of you, because it's almost like you only really know me through like this like workmanship type of mentality. Like you know me as sort of like a like trees and gasoline and
right
sawdust and stuff. So it's like that's all you really get from me, but I don't really show you like the other aspects of like my personality. Or like, you know, I think that like the group that we have here at SCB has kind of got like a quirky sense of humor that's like really been refined nicely through all the tours we've been on. And we've spent a ton of inside jokes. We've spent a ton of time together.
There was a time period where it was like, maybe we should just have like a live stream of the bullpen here at the office. Cause that, you know, it seems like, oh, it'd be very funny. And it's like, at this point, I don't even think it'd be funny because no one could possibly understand us.
Yeah, because we're like speaking in like full blown code.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but like not in code. It's just like, that is how layered the camaraderie has become,
yeah,
through just the extensive amount of time we've like spent together and like everybody's own individual senses of humor have kind of like melded, and
yeah,
you know, you've made this like really cool final outcome,
right,
of like the way that everybody interacts with each other. But like I think that's how like when it's hard to know like when you found like your people,
yeah,
in a way, like because like I have tons of people that I get along with extremely well.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, but I don't get to like show them like my whole pie.
Right.
Necessarily. So one of the like kind of interesting ones that I just encountered here recently was we went to New York City, and while we were there, like one of the things that like I've known through various trips to New York City is that Alice had a guy that she dated in college who lives up there.
Right.
And there have been numerous occasions like where we've talked about this guy extensively, just, you know, through recalling our own college experiences and stuff like that. And I'm always like, I feel like I would get along with this guy. Like he just sounds cool. Like,
yeah.
You know, and Alice was always sort of like, you guys would get along. And it's like, but then at the same rate, you know, this idea of like going and hanging out with like Alice's ex also always sounds like taboo, like,
right,
shouldn't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah. But so anyway, we were up in New York City, and you know, there was like an evening like where the family didn't have like specific plans like locked down like we did for almost all of the rest of the trip. So we reached out to him, and we went out and we had drinks with him. And sure enough, me and him were just like, I was like, this is awesome. Like, I don't know if it's like the whole pie wheel, but it was like, I feel like this resonates. Like, this,
yeah,
like it just like, just makes sense.
Right.
And I was like, it's so crazy that can happen. But like I felt that happen,
right,
you know, in that situation. So it's like it's weird, because if you don't have the marker for what it feels like, it's hard to know when it's happening. But then this occasion, like I was like, oh, cool,
yay.
But then also, you know, like he lives in New York City, so I'm like, I don't know,
so you're probably not gonna hang out that much.
I don't know how often we'll hang,
but you know, next time you're there, you got like someone you can call.
That's exactly it,
right?
Yeah. And I think he would think it was okay,
probably.
Yeah. So anyway,
grab a brewski beer.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so it'll be good. But so yeah, next time, I suppose next time I'm in such a situation, I shall see if I can hostmanship my way through a conversation.
I am dying to know. What if it changes everything?
I mean, it is possible. This was again, similar along these lines. When we were doing our other podcast through the Gryffindor, there are often times where we will get a really good question or comment, or we'll come across like a cool new fact or a new interpretation of something in one of the books. And, you know, we are trying to figure out like, can we flesh it out into like a full on video,
yeah,
that we could then make for the Super Carlin Brothers channel. And it like, I feel like here in the past, especially like 2 years or so, I feel like there has been the moment where it's like you have an idea and then you're like, okay, can we make a full video about it? And like, as I feel like as we're saying it, I can like watch, like I can like see the pieces in my mind of like, first you talk about this, then this, then this, then this, then this, then this. And it's like, it might only be like you could explain the whole thing to someone in like two sentences, but you could like really like completely talk about it in its entirety for like 15 minutes.
Right.
And it's like how, like, I feel like there's been like this shift of like, how, like knowing how to take a simple idea and turn it into like a fully fleshed out long form idea that like once I've got like the outline going, it can like fill in the rest of the way.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I know what I mean?
I do know exactly what you mean, because I have been experiencing this lately with the, we talked about it a lot last week, the TV show Severance, which is like highly theorizable. And what has been hilarious to me is that like, we don't make content about Severance, at least not yet. Not for a lack of interest. I'll tell you that much, but,
yeah.
Like I will be having conversations like here in office, like with you guys, or even just like with Alice at home, or, you know, again, Mike and Sammy, like, you know, other mom and dad, people who have like, you know, watched it. And I feel like what's happening is like a lot of times, like I will be, for their sake and not just being like extraordinarily like long winded inside of the conversation, I feel like a lot of times I'm trying to do the 2-sentence version. And what I'm discovering is how like occasionally non-compelling it can be to be like, I think this. And then it's sort of like, you know, because there's this moment and this moment and this moment and this moment and this moment. And it's like my brain is taking all of the data. And I'm like, I wish I could just go to the office and write the script and then like film it and put all the assets together into like a neatly laid out argument. And then you would see what I mean.
Right.
And it's like, it's like, I remember all the moments in my head. And I'm like, you know, when like season 2, episode 8, they're like talking about this in this particular location. And it's like, no, I don't remember that moment. It's like, I know, but it happened. It's
right.
Like, it's crucial. It's crucial.
It's crucial that you understand this reference with 2 characters that weren't involved, because what the writers of the show were doing is they're setting up this idea over here, but it actually applies to these 2.
Yes. Yeah. 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 And so it's very funny, because it's almost like, it's like my brain has slowly, and I mean, this is like a 10,000 hours thing.
Yeah.
You know, like in Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers, I think, is where they talk about 10,000 hours.
I think so.
Yeah. Which is a great book that anybody should read. I mean, I think anybody could benefit from just having read it. But, the idea is that you become truly a professional at something when you spend 10,000 hours doing that particular activity. And, you know, so for like a very, very long time, like even last week, I think I made like a reel that was like, I've been a professional YouTuber for 13 years. And it's sort of like, sort of, because we started 13 years ago. But like, part of me is only starting to believe that like, I am willing to grant myself enough confidence that like, I've become a professional at it, like within like the past, like you said, like 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, but like, maybe that's because we are like nearing like having theory crafted for about that long.
Right.
You know, like we've spent, you know, many, many, many days now doing that.
Right.
That's the other part of like this particular job, is you're wearing like 15,000 hats. So on any given day, how much time are you spending actually forging it? Take, for example, the pop. Like, this is episode, I don't even know,
278,
something like that.
Yeah.
Which means that, like, you know, best case scenario, if you edit out all the time that like didn't make it into the final cuts or whatever, it's like, we'll call it, you know, 350 hours
of, yeah, like recording the pop.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, you know, not that that's not a long time, but it's nowhere near 10,000 hours.
Right. That's true.
But then on the flip end of things, like, you know, the videos that we shoot might be 10 to 25 minutes long on average ish, you know?
Yeah.
But we spend, you know, 5 to 10 hours formulating the concept for it and writing it and really existing with the subject matter.
Yeah.
So, you know, then you extrapolate that over, you know, what, look, we'll call it 1,000+ videos just for Harry Potter alone. And it's like, okay, then you start to see like that is, you know, 5,000 to 7,000 hours
right.
of time spent with that activity. It's like, okay, that is actually starting to accumulate to something.
Yeah.
But the problem is that then when I'm out of context, it's almost like I don't have my workshop.
Right.
Like, you know, I am now highly accustomed to having a squad of people, to having you there with me, like to take an idea. So like sometimes I almost feel like I'm really, really bad at explaining an idea in like a small form, like conversational over dinner capacity, because the way that I'm used to doing it is having so many more resources
right
at
like,
my disposal
to like yeah can make it all concise and neat and
right
nice. but at the same rate, it's like I feel like at this like I feel like we like have recently like you know hit like a new a tier or something where it's like I bet if someone asked me anything about Harry Potter, I could talk about that for like 15 minutes.
Probably so.
You know,
yeah.
Like it is like, I remember once when, like I was like 22 or 23, one of my friends, Kendall, asked me if I would come help judge a forensics competition one weekend. And I was like, well, I don't know what that is. but I'd be happy to.
I'll do my best.
I'll do my best. And basically, it's not like the detective work or something like that. It is like public speaking, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the school she went to, she was like on the forensics team and they were state champions. And now she went back to that school and was coaching it. And they were having this big forensics competition at the school, and they needed extra judges, and I guess she just was like, yeah, whatever, anyone can do this.
Right.
It'll be obvious who's better and who's worse. Don't worry.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
But like you're going through the day and you're watching the kids get up and do their debates and stuff, and it was so interesting because like one of the formats was they would be given like they wouldn't even know what they were going to be talking about before they got up there. They'd be given like they'd be given a subject and they'd have like 5 minutes to prepare and then they'd have to go give their speech or whatever. And it was just like, man, but they would get up there and they would do it. And you could tell over time, especially if like all the kids came from the same team or something, like there was like a method to it. It would be like, here's what the thing is. Let me lay it out for you in common phrases as my opening statement. And like they wouldn't say the words opening statement or whatever, but like there would be the opening statement. There would be like, here's reason number one, here's reason number two, here is reason number three. So in conclusion, reasons one, two, and three. Boom.
Right.
You know, and it was like they had like a method or a way to talk about it for the amount of time and to sound informed about it and do their thing. And it was like, man, that's a really good skill. That it's like an interesting skill to be able to have.
No, it absolutely is. I mean, that is like the five layers to your classic research paper. I mean, I feel like that's what you're taught in like sixth grade or something is introduce your idea, defend it with three arguments, and then conclude by recapping your points.
Right.
You know, and in a way, like what's hilarious is that I was like remarkably bad at research papers.
Yeah.
So I think I've told the story before of being in my seventh grade advanced science class with who I would regard as one of the most challenging teachers to this day that I've ever had.
Oh, she was hard.
College.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it was, I think the foundation of like my understanding of science came from seventh and eighth grade where I had the same teacher back to back, but I got my paper back and I got a 43.
Woo.
And I believe she was literally like, this was so bad. I want to say that she even said that the 43 was generous.
Wow.
And then she was like, I will allow you to rewrite the entire paper, which I did. And then my rewrite got a 67.
Jeez.
You know, and it was just like, goodness, you know, like it was like, I couldn't understand how to explain simple machines that are just like simple machines are like gravity to me. You know, it's like, I can't talk about a simple machine in my own words. They are what they are.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, this is an inclined plane. This is a screw. Like, I don't know. Yeah, you know, a wedge. Like, I don't know what else to say. And so it was like, I don't know how to contribute to this conversation.
Like, I know. Feel like, yeah, I remember having that exact same problem. Like I remember having to write a research paper, like, my junior year in high school, and you had to, like, have an author. I think I had to write one about, like, Edith Wharton or something, who was this, like, feminist writer from, I couldn't even tell you anything about her. Now
and yet,
you know, and it was just like, I remember being like, it has to be five pages, and like, you know, it was like, it wouldn't even be that hard, you know, like to just like tell you about her life and what her contributions were, and here were some of her works, and this is what she stood for, you know.
Yeah,
like it sounds easy now, but it was just like, I remember just like I think I even went into school late that day. I was like, I have English third period, and I've only got like 4 pages written, and I was up until midnight, and I'm like, I got to find a way to squeak another 5th page out of this before 3rd period. And I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna have to skip the first part of school. And I remember waking up and just being like, I don't know what to tell you guys, mom and dad. Like, I'm not done, and I have to finish it. I'm going to go in late. Sorry. You know?
Right, right.
You know, like, I don't know enough about this person. And, like, which is to say, like, I have a ton of research paper. Like, I have a ton of research. I just don't know, like, how do I, like, what, like, what do you want from me? You know?
The complicated thing to me was always the fact that what you were really, really, really stiffly up against is, like, you were never supposed to say, I, so like everything was always supposed to just be like hard information, but then we were also being like absolutely like, you know, hammered on not plagiarizing anything,
right,
ever, you know. And I think that that was like the other thing too, where it's almost like now what I think I understand is that like it would be acceptable. And I mean, like, it sounds so obvious now, and I'm sure that plenty of people are like, you guys are just morons, but like the like it is acceptable to go through and use a quote from somebody to defend your point. But like, I think even that was something where I was like, well, I can't use the exact quote. I need to figure out how to like demonstrate that this person said this thing without using their words, because that would be plagiarism.
Right.
You know, when it's like, no. Like, you know.
Right. No, I agree with you. It was just like, yo, you cannot like you're right. Like the idea of plagiarism was like, don't copy another person's work. And it was like, right, got it. Never do that.
But only also speak in facts.
But yes, exactly.
It's like, where am I getting the facts from?
I know.
I'm getting the facts from the book.
Exactly. I know. It's just like, it's like what they wanted you, and it's like, I feel, yeah, it was like very difficult to communicate to that to the students. And like, no matter how many we had to write, it was like, it never felt like it really clicked in my brain until we were having to do it for ourselves to defend our own arguments for stuff.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, now see, it makes sense. Because if I want to prove that Tom Riddle wouldn't have come out of the diary or whatever, then I can just point to this and say like, look, see, it says it right here. Boom. In the text. Got it. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense. So all I had, like, if I was trying to say like, Edith Wharton stood for these things, for example, here's his quote.
Yes, yes, right. Exactly. Yes. But like that's the other thing too, though, is that like, I mean, obviously other students were like understanding how to do this because, you know, they assign research papers year in, year out.
I know.
Like everybody's
people
failing,
were getting A's.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But you're right. Like, I think what was essential for me, or what was so infrequently not the case for me, was that I was not well versed in the subject I was attempting to write a research paper about.
Right.
You know, so it's sort of like, I don't understand the whole scope of the conversation well enough to speak about it as somebody attempting to make an argument about this thing. Like, you know, it was so often the case that you were being introduced to subject matter at the same time that you were supposed to be writing as like a knowledgeable person about the subject matter. It's like, but I'm not knowledgeable.
Right.
You know, like,
it's like, that's why you're researching it.
I know. It's like, my brain is exploding, you know, but that's the thing, you know, now like with, you know, like take Harry Potter as an example, it is a massive tome of text with lots of different rules that have been established within the overarching fandom. And thanks to those rules, they help support arguments when you're like, okay, well, we know that this applies over here, you know, like the unbreakable vow, right? Like if you break an unbreakable vow, then it means you die. Like that is a piece of like hard truth inside of the
right.
series. So then if you take it to the Triwizard Tournament and it's sort of like Harry must compete in the tournament, it's sort of like, but he's underage and nobody wants him to. So like, why is he compelled to? What happens if he doesn't?
It's binding like, magical contract.
Binding magical contract. It's like, what other magical contracts do we know? It's like, the other major one we know where there is a known threat involved is the unbreakable vow.
So there's even
like,
fire involved.
There's even fire involved. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, now what you're able to do is take this existing piece of information and apply it to this other argument and be like, I am supporting my argument by using what we know, and this is what we know.
Right.
You know? But like, I don't know.
Harry must compete or he will die.
Or he will die.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, it is more dangerous for him not to compete.
Even though he'll probably die.
Even though he might die.
But don't worry, he doesn't. He wins.
He wins. Hooray!
Yay!
Anyway, sort of. He dies.
Harry?
Harry.
Eventually.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's he
not,
comes back.
It's not enough, though, because Ludo Bagman bets on him winning, and technically, since he ties, he's not able to, like, claim a win as far as the goblins are concerned. So,
yeah.
Not to get into the weeds. Anyway, guys, this is going to bring us to the end of this week's episode.
I think it is.
Yeah. How do you feel about research papers? Let us know. Send us an email, popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Otherwise, if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by going over to patreon.com/popcornculture. Links to that are in the description down below. Otherwise, until next time. Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.